Hello, everyone, and welcome to Star Legacy Foundation. My name is Lindsay Wimmer. I'm the executive director, and I am so excited today to be talking to Brianna Sistrunk. Like many of the people listening, Brianna is a mother who knows the devastation of pregnancy and infant loss. But unlike most of us, she is sharing her story and helping other grieving families in a really big way. She was recently named Mrs. Alabama 2025, and her chosen platform is pregnancy and infant loss. I'm so looking forward to this conversation, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And again, it's an honor, honestly, to get to talk to you guys and then share my story. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So, I suppose just start at the beginning. Maybe tell us a little bit about your background and your journey to parenthood.
Okay, so journey to parenthood, that's an interesting one. Well, currently, I think I'll go backwards. I have three children. I have London, Milan, and Rome, and they are 7, 5, and 3. So I'm going backwards. But the journey to getting to where I am today, having those three children, it was definitely not an easy one. In 2015 was my first pregnancy with my husband, and we got pregnant with our daughter, Madison. And during that pregnancy, it was a rough pregnancy from the beginning because I was having bleeding. And during pregnancy, you shouldn't. It's not always a concern if you do, but they were monitoring me closely. And everything else outside of that seemed like it was okay. But then just fast forwarding, I think that was the only issue that I had leading up to that point. But then when I was 19 weeks gestation, one day shy of 20 weeks, I started feeling extremely bad. Honestly, the day before is when I first started feeling bad, but I just thought it was like constipation. And I was having back pain and things like of that nature. But then the day of the night, not the 19th, but the following day is when I actually went into labor. I was exhibiting signs of labor. What they thought was a kidney infection, they didn't actually call me in. I just self-care at home, and they called me in a prescription, but it went downhill from there. Later that night, ended up at the hospital, and then was told that the following morning I would have to deliver my daughter. So that was insanity in itself. I didn't even have time, I feel like, to fully process what was happening. So I think that honestly made what happened to me a little bit harder, because it wasn't something as though like, oh, in this amount of time this is going to happen, which is horrible to happen at any point of your pregnancy. But I didn't have time to process from being told in that moment, tomorrow morning you're going to deliver her. She's head down. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, what are we doing? And then that following morning, I gave birth to her. My husband cut her umbilical cord, all the things that I would have done if she had been full term. And the nurses were very kind there, put a bow on her hair, her head, took pictures, let me hold her. She stayed in my room for probably longer than she should have, because they were just so kind and accommodating. And it was the hardest thing I've ever been through, giving birth and going through the process, but then having to leave the hospital without her. And still to this day, having her footprints and her handprints and all of that, like my other three children, but she's not here. So my journey to parenthood was very. It was a crazy journey. And then the following year after that, I suffered from ectopic pregnancy. I had to have emergency surgery. And that was very fast as well. I went from, once again, finding out I was pregnant, but I was spotting. And I was like, well, I know from experience that this could mean nothing. But then I started feeling bad, which was not normal. But because of my situation in history, immediately went to the hospital, which was one of the best decisions I'd ever made, because I ended up not being able to walk and needing that emergency surgery, and was, vomiting and other things that were happening. And so I had emergency surgery, and this all happened the exact same week that I lost my daughter. And both of those losses are the week of my birthday. So every year, I think my husband likes to spoil me because he knows what has transpired in the past, which is very sweet of him. But yeah, that's definitely a hard week for me. But that is one of the reasons why I wanted to do what I'm doing now and advocate for those women, because I understand what it feels like. And I remember feeling like I would never have children, I would never get to be a mother. And that's something that I've always wanted. I've always wanted to be a mom. I love kids so much. Both myself and my husband are kid people. We love other people's kids. And I thought it wasn't going to happen for me. And if you circling back, starting at the beginning of this, I said I have three children now. And I just remember being in that space and feeling like it was never going to happen and feeling like no one understood my specific situation. I had my mom and my sister who had, they have suffered from miscarriage. And my heart goes out to anyone that suffers from miscarriage at any point of pregnancy. But I remember my mom saying, what happened to me is vastly different than what happened to you because it was early pregnancy. And she was like, what you experienced, you gave birth to your daughter. It's a different depth and pain that comes alongside that because I saw her face, I held her in my arms. And I just remember that feeling, remember feeling like I would never get out of it. And now feeling like I'm on the other side of where, healing happens every day, grief ebbs and flows. But I want to be that person that can be what I felt like I needed at that time that I didn't really have. But again, I'm on the other side where I have three beautiful children, which is a blessing from the Lord. And if there's any way I can pour into another woman and let her know that there is hope at the end of the tunnel, no matter what that looks like, it doesn't have to look like you ever having children. It doesn't have to look like you giving birth to your child. It could be an adopted child. It could, there's so many various different ways that you come out on the other side of that. But I just would want to be, and I desire to be, that person that other women can lean on.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the really incredible things about what you're doing is because it helps in two ways. And you kind of touched on both of them, where number one, for people who are experiencing a loss, to know that they're not alone and have such a visible kind of example of someone who has survived. Not that this ever is something that is part of our past, but it's something, like you said, that it does change and morph over time. But then also your comment about, deciding to go in to be seen. Sometimes it's so easy for us to talk ourselves out of, different things or to go against our gut instincts, especially during pregnancy, because we're afraid of being seen as hormonal, or that we don't, it's a new scenario, especially if it's a first pregnancy. We don't know what to expect, or if what we're feeling is normal, and so we talk ourselves out of what we know about our bodies. And I think even just your advocacy to make sure that people know that these losses can happen, and sometimes the symptoms can be pretty minor, or feel like other things that aren't, devastating, but definitely still worth being checked out. And so I think there's a lot of value in what you're doing, both in helping people hopefully maybe prevent some of these losses, but then also receiving the care that they need if something is happening. So, I mean, as we all know, there's a lot of silence and stigma around some of these losses, which is why having that face is so important. But did you ever have any reservations about selecting pregnancy loss as your platform or sharing your experience in such a public way?
I think that I did not have reservation because I felt as though nobody really talked about it. Like that was one of the things that I noticed, and I've spoken about this before, is when I went through the situation, and even after that, like a few years down the line, I was like, why does nobody really talk about pregnancy loss? It almost felt like it was taboo to talk about. Like we know, we both know, and there's a lot of people in this world that will know someone who has experienced miscarriage, even to the degree of premature labor, stillbirth, and it's like not vocalized. And even I would say, up until most recent years, I know women would be like, I'm not going to share my pregnancy just in case something happens because I understand not wanting to have to deal with explaining, but it almost felt unfair because that child was still there, that baby still mattered. And I wanted to be like, no, I want to put this on the forefront. So this is why I'm going to choose this as what I advocate for publicly because I feel like it's not talked about enough. Now, I will say in the most recent years, the past couple of years, I have seen more and more celebrities come out. I remember Chrissy Teigen was the first that I saw that publicly shared her story that was very similar to my own experience. But I know when I went through it in 2015, it wasn't that way. And 2015 was not that long ago. And so I just wanted to make sure, like, no, I'm going to give these women a voice that feel like they can't talk about it, or they feel as though they live in a community where it is taboo, because it shouldn't be. It absolutely should not be. So I didn't really have reservation or hesitation. Or if I did, I don't know, I glossed over it and that boldness took over, because I was like, I feel like this has got to be on the forefront. It's not fair that we have to suffer in silence when you're already suffering to begin with. So.
Absolutely. I love that. And what kind of response have you had from people when they hear your story or when they hear what your platform is? How have you been able to use that to interact with other people?
So usually the response is they want to know the story. They want to know the story behind it. And once I begin to tell them, a lot of people are very empathetic and sympathetic, which I appreciate. But when it comes to women, I usually get a lot of women that are like, I went through something, not to this degree, but I went through a miscarriage, or I know, like, it's what I was saying. They know someone that has an understanding of what I've been through, but again, it wasn't really talked about. And so I get the response is kind of twofold. They either don't know and they want to know more about it. I know I have a sister queen from the Mrs. Alabama system that was crowned alongside me. And she was asking me, she's like, I've never dealt with like miscarriage or pregnancy loss. She's like, I've always just wanted to sit down with someone and just have an understanding of how that affects you. And I appreciate her for that. She was like, tell me more about it. And so I've been blessed to be in a position where most people, once they hear what I'm talking about, they want to know more. And they want to know, like, how I am in the place I am today, because again, you're losing your child. That is something that's extremely heavy. So, yeah, I get a lot of questions and kind of just inquisitive about it, or a lot of women that identify with what I've been through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as you're talking, one of the things that's standing out to me is you're fully embracing your grief and how much love you have for the babies that aren't here that should be, but you've also been very intentional about starting them with some of the joy and the happiness and maybe a sense of peace that you have in your life now too. And so that the fact that the two can coexist, I think, speaks to part of how this is so complicated, but people are complicated, so that's a pretty natural thing. But also I think I hope that it gives newer lost families some hope because it does demonstrate that it will always be with you, but it doesn't have to define you or destroy every aspect of your existence.
And I would agree with that, because a part of my story, one of the things that really propelled me out of that place, I was in a place of darkness. I would say depression. I would say, I was consumed by my grief. And for me, my faith is huge to me. And I know I wouldn't have gotten out of that situation without it. And I just remember I had told my story before, and I was saying I was angry with God because he's sovereign, he knows all. And I remember opening my Bible that one day and it falling on the scripture, and he lifted me out of the slimy mire and set my feet on solid ground. And then that was what lifted me out of that place that I was in, and I began to trust in him. And then that's when I began to allow him to heal my heart, because that pain was valid, and it is, still is valid. I still, grieve my daughter. I still think about her. I still wish she was here. But like you were saying, I'm able to walk through life and have peace coexist with that grief, because I know that she is in a much better place. I know that we go through hard things on this earth because we are in an imperfect world, and it doesn't have to define who we are, like you were saying. And I can take that grief, internalize it, and then use it and turn it for good by helping someone else that's in a similar position, because it's not fair. But when we are living in a world that's not fair, the best we can do is help other people through it. And so I know for me, my faith was very fundamental in my trust in God and allowing him to heal those broken pieces and heal my heart. And again, healing is still taking place. I still have days where I'm thinking and I'm grieving her, but I know that I trust in him, and I know that what it looks like now is not what it will always look always. So that place where I was in, where I didn't want to get out of bed and I was in a robe every day, and my husband, I was angry even with my husband for continuing life as normal. I was in that place where I didn't want to move. And now today I'm speaking with people to my situation and trying to help other people and advocate for women. So that is would be one of the biggest things I would even tell people, like, the two can coexist. Peace, you can be at peace and you can be helping someone and at the same time miss your child and the same time it be unfair. And so for me, I know getting through that situation is just my trust and my faith in God.
Yeah, beautifully said. Are there things that you all do as a family to kind of keep her memory alive, or her place in your family story? Something that you're sharing with your living children and
Yes.
continue
So,
on?
in years past, we've done like released balloons, or we've done. I worked alongside March of Dimes, and I was able to do where they have like a candle and you write her memory on there, and then you are able to put it, it was like in the ground with flowers and just have it like a memorial, which I appreciate because I didn't have a funeral service for my daughter or a memorial service for my daughter. And so I'm able to do little things like that. But I just recently, this past year, because my kids are 3, 5, and 7, started explaining to them about them having a sister. And so I think like the first year, they've been there in the past when my husband and I have talked and did stuff for her memorial, but I don't think they realized what was happening. And so this upcoming year will be the first year where I allow them to take part in honoring her memory, because I just now started explaining. Again, the 5 and 7 year old, my 5 year old just started kindergarten 2 days ago. And I feel like they're now in a place where I can explain that. And then, of course, my 3 year old, he doesn't understand, but I've just kind of been taking baby steps. So basically, having them there when me and my husband try to do things in her memory. And they just kind of sing, but they don't really know. But this year, actually, a couple of months ago, was my first time explaining to my daughters, that they have a sister and that she's in heaven with Jesus, and as kid friendly as possible. So I think that this upcoming year, they'll be actually able to take place in honoring her memory alongside myself and their dad.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned at the top, you were recently crowned Mrs. Alabama. So, what kind of opportunities have you maybe already experienced, or that you foresee coming up, especially as it relates to, what kind of awareness elements are you able to do for pregnancy loss through this program?
Well, as Mrs. Alabama, I've had the honor, obviously, is working with Star Legacy Foundation. But with Tears Foundation, I do have, they're going to allow me to come speak at their banquet. I believe it's October or November. I have to check the dates on that. And I'm going to be able to speak to those people there, that there will be a lot of people that have been in my shoes, and I'll get to do that on a public scale. I'm also able to use, I have a YouTube and a podcast. Personally, that I'm able to use to kind of vocalize and talk about my story as a title holder and just as a wife and a mother. I do have a series on my YouTube channel that I started specifically for pregnancy loss, infant loss, and miscarriage. And I'm telling my story and then also telling how I got through it and then talking about steps I took even on the other side of that experience. And so I'm able to just utilize social media for one. That's one of the biggest ways as a title holder that I'm able to speak publicly. And I've utilized my social media accounts and my YouTube, and then of course my podcast, because I also did a video on my podcast series where I was able to speak. And then hopefully, prayerfully, I'm leaving soon to compete for Mrs. America. And with that title, I would love to do what I'm doing now in the state on a national scale. So, working with Star Legacies, working with the Tears Foundation, working with March of Dimes, I've also worked alongside March of Dimes in the past. Doing that nationally, to me, oh my gosh, would be incredible. And I would be able to utilize that title even further and expand upon what I've already started, because then I can reach states and not just, which of course reaching just women in Alabama is incredible to me because I live in Alabama. And again, when I experienced my loss, I was in Alabama, and I'm grateful for the foundations and organizations that are in place that I didn't even know about. And so that's another thing too. I'm able to share on my social medias the people that I am working with now as a state title holder, because that's important to me, because again, I didn't realize that they even existed when I went through my loss. And so I'm like, I can use this title, this crown, with all the eyes that are on me right now to help propel that forward for a lot of women that most likely don't even know that there are organizations and foundations that are willing to help and step in and be there. So using the title of the crown, I literally like to say, I'm going to use this title and crown as a microphone for advocacy. Like, that's what I use it for, and I'm able to do so right now. And then hopefully, prayerfully, I'll be able to do it on a national level as well.
That's fantastic. And not that it wouldn't be amazing from any state, but I think
Right.
you being from Alabama is particularly meaningful because we know that Alabama historically has had among the worst stillbirth and infant loss rates in our country. So I think it's just really kind of puts an extra fine point on the importance of what you're doing, and you're really kind of living that every day. So I think that's amazing. So
Thank you.
definitely encourage everybody to follow you on all of your socials. How do they find your podcast?
So you can find it on YouTube because I like to do it off of YouTube. Brianna Lynn, all of my socials and all of my like YouTube podcasts, it's so easy to get to because you can just type in Brianna Lynn with four underscore or Brianna Sis Trunk. Made it everything connected from Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And then I have my podcast, Girl Yes and Amen. That's the name of it. And I like to host that on my YouTube channel. And then, of course, I post it on all of my social medias as well. So hopefully, I'll get it on Apple soon. I was in the process to getting it on Apple and Spotify to listen and all of those platforms, hopefully.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I just kind of want to, I think a lot of times one of the things that's amazing about a platform like this is that you get to kind of provide that first introduction, or that first level of information to people. So if you are, being seen right now by someone who is just brand new in their loss experience and just starting this grief journey, what advice do you have, or what do you want them to know? As they begin this process.
That's a really good question, Lindsay. I think that I would say that. Again, I said it earlier, but I would say where you are now is not where you'll always be. I have an understanding of how it feels. I understand the pain that is encompassing you. But at the same time, I don't have the exact same understanding because this is your child. This was the life that you carried. But I would tell them, I want you to know that it's important, that your feelings matter, that you're seen, that you're heard. There will be days, more than likely, where you'll feel like no one understands exactly what you went through because nobody that hasn't walked in this, your shoes or your path, they don't understand. But I would tell them that, me being me, I'm praying over you, praying for you. And I want you to know that healing will take place, healing will begin. And it hurts right now, but it won't always hurt as bad. And there will be days where it gets better. There will be days where you'll have sunshine and you'll feel like, should I be upset right now or should I still be sad? But then you'll have days where you feel like, this is it's the healing is taking place. You're getting further on the journey. And again, like I said, grief ebbs and flows. It doesn't always fully dissipate, but it does get easier to kind of deal with and heal through because I don't think you'll ever fully be in a place where you're like, you don't miss your child. That's your child. That's a part of you. He or she was in your body. That life was in you. But I would tell them that it does get better and there is light at the end of the tunnel. And then you'll be in a position one day where you'll be able to help someone else in the exact same position you are. So, yeah.
Lovely. And kind of the flip side of that, if there's someone who has, maybe not even heard of it or thought that this was a very rare, antiquated kind of experience, and just realizing, that it does still exist today.
Right.
What do you want them to know about pregnancy loss, as an initial introduction to the concept?
I would tell probably someone that doesn't know, I would tell them more than likely, even if no one has told you, there is a woman in your life right now that has dealt with miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even infant loss and stillbirth. They may not be telling you, and they're probably suffering in silence or, privately dealing with it. But more than likely, there is someone around you right now that has dealt with that. And it's more prevalent than what you could ever know or imagine. And I would also tell them that, to be sensitive to people that have dealt with that because that life matters. When you are a parent, your children are your world, your children are your joy. And so, on the flip side of that, a loss of a child, it affects you. It changes your chemistry. Like when we lose someone, just in general, it changes your brain chemistry. It just changes. There's so much emotion attached to that. So losing a life that you carried is just a whole nother level of emotion and pain. So I would tell them that this is something that is more prevalent than what they may realize. If you do know someone in your life that has experienced anything along the lines, to be sensitive to them and always be kind. I believe in leading with kindness in every situation, but more specifically, something like this. And then I would let them know my own personal experience so that they might have a level of understanding because I do have two different experiences from giving birth to a child, and then one was an ectopic pregnancy where some might say, oh, I wasn't that far along, I didn't see arms and legs and a child, but that life still mattered. That life was still in my body. And it did still affect me even after the emergency surgery. And so I would just really harp on that sensitivity and just leading with kindness and being a listening ear. Because sometimes you don't need anyone to talk. You just need someone to listen. Sometimes you don't even need someone to listen. You just need someone to be there. So that's probably what I would say to someone that has really never dealt with it.
I think that's beautifully said. Well, as you are going through this journey with Mrs. Alabama and into the national level of competition, is there anything that we at Star Legacy or that anybody listening can do to help support you and expand your platform?
Oh my goodness, sharing is always a great way to start. Sharing anything that I post, talking about my platform, which of course is miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and infant loss. Just sharing my social media, that's great. Prayers as I lead up to the national competition, I appreciate that as well. But I think social media is one of the biggest tools where you can utilize, where I can get the word out about what I'm speaking about, why it's important to me. Advocating for those women at the same time, because boosting me isn't boosting for me. It's boosting for what I'm standing for, what I'm advocating for. And I'm very passionate about it. And I say this all the time because this is something that I lived through. What I'm doing now is not for me to elevate me. Yeah, the sash is cute and the crown is pretty. But this, again, is my microphone to help other women. And I'm so passionate about that. I am a mass communications major and I have a minor in women's studies. So I've always been passionate about helping women in some way. And that was before I went through any of this. And so to know where I am now, I believe it is God breath that I'm in this position on purpose. And again, I'm passionate about making sure I'm advocating for women, which I didn't know I was going to end up doing, which I always wanted to do, in a way that it's something I lived through that's so important to me. Again, it's the hardest thing I've ever been through. Lived through, experienced, and now I get to say that I'm helping someone else. And that has always been, I've always been somebody that loves to help people and to now have an understanding of what they're going through. It's not just something that I'm like, oh, I want to help someone because this sounds cute to say. No, I know the pain attached to it, I know the depth of it. And so, again, when you're sharing something of mine that I've posted or sharing even my journey just in general, I feel like I'm able to help someone else just through that because I list it everywhere, every article I've done, every interview, magazine. I got the blessing of being in a magazine in our area. I'm speaking about this because it's important to me. So,
Yeah.
just sharing is great.
That's fantastic. We are super excited to be watching your journey and cheering you on
Thank
and of
you.
course, helping you support any of the families that you're connecting with as well, because there's you just never know what scenario or who you're going to come across that really needs that extra level of compassion in any given moment. And so I love that you
Right.
are doing it in such an incredible and big way, and hopefully you're
Absolutely.
having fun with
So
it
much
too.
fun. Yes, ma'am. I am. I love and getting to do the podcast and the like. It's all fun because I am a mass communications major. So it's so crazy how life just, connects. And then studying women's studies, and it's like it's so weird to me. And I know it's God breath again. I know it's His hand on me, and this is purpose driven. And I believe our purpose always connects to helping someone else. And so I'm having the time of my life. Truly, I am. So it's a
Oh,
blessing for sure.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Brianna Sistrunk, everybody, please follow her on socials, check out her podcast. We'll be definitely watching and cheering you on, like I mentioned before. But I appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm honored, truly.
Oh, thank you so much. And everyone, I hope you will join us again next time for the Star Legacy Foundation podcast.